Hey everybody, and welcome to the very first episode of Geek the Mage, a 5th edition Shadowrun actual play podcast. We also stream our sessions live on Twitch TV, so we're kind of saturating the market as it were. So you may hear during some of the episodes later on that, you know, we are addressing the people in the that are, you know, tuning in to watch us. So, you know, if that happens, that's what's going on. I just want to, before we get into the actual episode, I just want to go over a couple things so everyone knows. This is a group of players that are very new, if not brand new, to both Shadowrun and just 5th edition. So we are going to be having a little bit of a slower paced first couple of sessions as everyone kind of gets used to the system and gets used to what they can and can't do. So I'm editing it so that it doesn't drag on. I'm trying to keep it as fast paced and action packed and as roleplay heavy as possible. But if you tune in for our sessions, you might seem a little slow because, you know, most of the players are brand new, so they really don't know what they can and can't do. They're all learning very fast. We have that. We also are playing at a street level, so you may notice that some of the characters don't have as much gear as they normally would, and that's the reason why. I wanted to start them off at a lower level, at least gear-wise, because they're all new players. I didn't want to throw them right into the fire and then be like, now what? I wanted to kind of like build up, and I find the street level, you are hungrier. I mean, you don't have as much gear, you don't have as much money to throw around, so each run that you do, even if it's only for a couple thousand new yen, I mean, that is a big deal to you. That can buy a new gun, or that can pay for like a month and a bit of your living, or I mean, that can get you like halfway to getting some new chrome. So it's really your bigger deal at the street level. Other than that, I don't think there's anything we need to know. I might be turning this also, our session, into a YouTube kind of series. I'm still on the fence about that. I gotta, you know, talk to some people and decide some stuff based on it. So that might be a thing as well. So if you want to kind of see the pictures that go along with the words, that might become a possibility. We play once a month due to schedules and whatnot. So I'm breaking up the episodes into smaller chunks just so I can kind of be able to post once a week, which I plan to do. Check us out at geekthemage.wordpress.com. I should be buying the actual name shortly. I just don't want to invest too much money if this doesn't pan out. But other than that, I hope you guys enjoy the episode, and I'll see you on the flip side. So, Neo Tokyo is one of the world's first mega metropolises, and is the capital of Japan, spanning 75,000 square kilometers, or I think, what, 62,000 square miles, and containing an estimated 250 million people. It is a steel garden stretching towards the heaven. Known as the Endless City by those that live there, it is a melting pot of civilization, a project that began a month after Ryo Mio appeared at the behest of the previous emperor. The great city has grown quickly since the Sixth World began. Born of fear, Emperor Watanabe wished his home to be protected from a potential dragon attack. Many of the megacorps put their bid in to complete this project, but it was the Shiawassa Corporation that won the honor. Starting in 2012, the construction of the Shiawassa Dome began, a project that fueled the expansion of the city while the structure was being built. By 2030, Neo Tokyo had already expanded into the surrounding prefectures, doubling in size as several megacorporations set up their headquarters within the blooming metropolis. In 2035, the dome entered its final year of completion, and a new project rose up in the construction of the world's first super skyscrapers. Six in total, each one measuring 1,500 meters in height, these marvels of architectural design would become home to the megacorporation's headquarters. In 2036, the Shiawassa Dome was completed, the structure rising nearly 1,900 meters into the sky, so that's over a mile for all my American friends, and it covers a large portion of the old Tokyo, centered over the Imperial Palace. A city in and of itself, it is home of the Emperor and the majority of the Shiawassa Corporation holdings, as well as the rich and powerful. Whether it can provide the protection it boasts is unknown, though few wish to see it tested. Now, in the year 2076, it is a gnarled and twisted mass of steel and glass. Since the repeal of the Yomi Island Decree and the return of the metahumans to the mainland, the population of Neo Tokyo has seen a large increase as more bodies clamor for what little space is left. Power is sought after by all, but few manage to obtain it. You are among those searching for it, but whether or not you will be able to grasp it remains to be seen. It will take a combination of skill, drive, and luck for you to make it in the shadows of the Endless City. But if you're willing to pay the price, all things are possible. So before we get into it, let's start off with some character introductions. Say who you are, who you're playing, if you want to talk about your metahuman type or kind of what the motif of your character is, go ahead. Be as, you know, descriptive or as non as you want to be. And I don't, you know, you guys can choose who goes first.
Well, I suppose I can start. I am playing Neo Tse, which everyone just calls him Neil. He is male, 30 years old, American Indian, Native American, however you want to call it. He's part of the Navajo tribe. He is also an elf, and he's real sneaky. My basic concept with him is he's someone who's trying to find his own path away from the more mystical, magical side of his people. Yeah, so there you go. Oh, and my name's Chance. I don't remember why I said that.
Alright, so I'll go ahead and go next one. My name's Rob, and I'll be playing as Nils Kilstead. He usually goes by his runner name Fenrir, though. So he's an elf gun adept of Scandinavian origin. He has auburn hair, blue eyes, slight tan skin, and a pretty wiry build. He also does have a pretty, you might say, distinctive tattoo of a wolf on the right side of his face. He likes his guns.
Alright, I'm Sean, and I'll be playing Madcap Bohannon. He's a bit of a kind of a cowboy in the wrong time and era, bit of a gunslinger, and one hell of a driver.
My name is Lisa. My character's name is Elizabeth Cornell, though she goes by the runner name of Gypsy. She's Caucasian, 26 years old, and is a human decker.
I'm Clay X. I'm playing Augustus Williams. I'm the troll tank of the party. He is a stereotypical troll, more or less. He is basically the frontline meat shield.
Is that everyone? I had to run and clean my glasses.
Yes, it is.
Excellent.
Nice.
Sorry, I couldn't see. While I was reading the intro part, I had to take my glasses off, and oh yeah, it was bad.
It's like character introduction.
I figured you guys could handle it. So before we get into it, you guys have performed a run together, so you do actually know each other. And during this run, you were introduced to a fixer named Lojack. Now here's where we're gonna have some fun. I'm gonna be asking you some questions, and together, we're going to kind of build what happened in this last run. So, Lisa, what metahuman type is Lojack?
Lojack's a dwarf.
Oh, right. Good old dwarf. All right. And Rob, what kind of run did you guys go on last time?
An assassination.
All right. Chance, what was special about this target that you guys were supposed to assassinate?
He was the son of one of the megacorp higher ups.
Oh, so you guys did some real dirty work.
Indeed, we did.
All right, Sean, why don't you tell us what megacorp this was?
Of course I would get that one. Let's go with Renraku, is that it? Am I saying it correctly?
Yep.
Okay.
Alright, and who I'm not called. Tim, what random or unforeseen event happened while on this run? It could be beneficial, it could be the opposite of beneficial.
It didn't go as smoothly as we originally planned. It was supposed to be, we had plotted and planned it out to catch him by himself. Turns out he was having a gay homosexual encounter with his boyfriend. And we had to eliminate the boyfriend as well.
Interesting.
Can't leave witnesses.
Oh, no, that's very true. You cannot leave witnesses, especially on an assassination.
Well, I appreciate that at least.
So, let's go back with Lisa. What was something notable about this target of yours? Like, did he have really bright hair? Did he have some crazy scar? Maybe some tattoos? Was he all chromed out? Chrome being the term for cyberware.
He had bright orange hair.
Okay. And this is going to be to all of you guys. How did you feel about not only being assigned on this run, but having to kill an innocent person, like not the target as well?
How can you say that anyone in that situation is innocent?
Oh, man. It's dark. Dark. Augustus wasn't, pleased about it, but, it was the contract he was hired to do. He kind of, when you pick up a job like that, it's kind of what is entailed in the actual process.
Yeah, I think Elizabeth or Gypsy's in the same boat. Not too happy about killing people. I mean, she's a hacker, but it happens.
Neil was not pleased that they had to kill anyone. He accepted it quietly as he figures this is all just part of this path that's going to lead him to his true place in the world.
So you guys are okay, like your characters are okay with killing people if the money's right?
Man's gotta eat.
Everyone has a price.
Yeah, and for the most part, people...
It's not that expensive, really.
...tend to have done something wrong at some point.
Have you seen my lifestyle?
It doesn't come cheap.
Oh, we got someone living a little bit on the high end of life.
Well, it's all the alcohol. That's really what drives it.
No, I'm a squatter, man. I'm trying to improve it.
All right, so it's been a couple of weeks since this assassination run, and the new yen was already starting to run low, bringing about a need to make some cash once more. But, that's the way things always go in the shadows. Even after a successful run, you still always feel the twinge of hunger. The paydays weren't enough to fully satisfy you. Not yet, at least. You'd always hear about the people at the top, the elite runners making scores of new yen with each outing. People would always say that just having one such payout would be enough to sate them, but you knew the truth. It was never enough. It never would be. The more money you make, the more you spend. Sure, you live a life only most dream about, but that didn't quench the insatiable desire for more that you would always have within you. The thing that separates the pros from the wannabes. But you guys receive a message from LoJack about a potential job you were all too pleased to check out. He had done right by you on the last one, so it was, something that you were kind of okay with. You were to meet the fixer at the Four Roses. A name that a quick matrix search revealed to be a local skin bar. Money was money, though. The message also told you the time to show up, and you were provided with a pick of the fixer. It seemed simple enough. With the success of the last job still fresh in your minds, messages start to flow between the members of this team, and soon it's obvious that you would all be attending the meeting. It seems that you weren't the only ones that were growing hungry. I copied something. Sorry, the meet is not taking place at the Four Roses. I copied something wrong. It's actually taking place at a bar called Kasai no Burendo. And it's a bar within the so-called good parts of the Saitama Barrens. I kind of fucked up. Bad copy and paste. And
how the hell do you copy and paste from Four Roses to something?
I originally had another run that we were going to run as a first.
Ah,
but then
that would do it.
Yeah. So parts just got copied over. It's in the good parts of the Saitama Barrens, which means that, you know, while Knight Errant still has no actual presence in the area, at least was not a constant war zone as many of the areas tended to be. One of the perks of being under a protection of one of the larger Go-Ganger groups. And as you arrive, the bar itself is a relic of the old world. Red neon lights spelling out its name hum and flicker on the wall. The place didn't bother with arrows. It was much too low-tech for that. A mishmash of brick, wood, and steel form its walls, signs of repair over the decades, and perhaps even attempts to fortify the structure. It wasn't big in comparison to many other watering holes in the area, but it still drew a steady flow of regulars that enjoyed its seclusion. Several bikes are parked outside, most sharing the same green-gray color motifs. As you step into the building, you're met with the sights and sounds you would expect from such a place. Smoke hangs in the air of the dimly lit interior. The place is noisy, but certainly not obstreperous. That's boisterous, clamorous, noisy. The sounds of conversations mix with the clatter of billiard balls striking one another. Glancing around, it doesn't take you long for you to spy your contact, the orc's neon green mohawk causing him to stand out. He is currently sitting in a large booth with three other human men. So what do you do? I'm assuming you all roughly, you know, meet, show up at the same time or within like a couple of minutes of each other. Or even seconds.
So are we just heading in?
Yep, you guys just walked in. It is dimly lit. There's smoke hangs around. Like I said, it's a very low-tech bar in comparison to like a lot of the Sixth World. So like your AR readouts aren't blowing up with arrows. It's being bombarded at you from this place. While it still has like TVs and whatnot, it's definitely not high-tech. You don't even think that you could get a... Like, it doesn't even have Wi-Fi in here, like free Wi-Fi.
Huh. Well. Neil's gonna just head over to the contact. Assuming that the others are following.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Alright, so... This orc is... He has a black leather vest that struggles to contain his large frame, and various patches adorn it. Piercings dot his head from nose to mouth and ears and a few places in between. While the bar was dimly lit, he wears a pair of large black sunglasses, although you can see the flicker of blue light appearing on the lenses every so often. His left arm is covered in various tattoos, most of which are tribal in nature, but many others just seem to be like various designs. You know, maybe he has like the heart with the mom and the arrow, or he has some names of some girls, or, you know, what, Kermit the Frog, who knows. His right arm, however, is an obvious full chrome replacement that has been painted black and green, although large chips and gashes and the colors are visible. And as you approach, he kind of just like, he turns to look at you, and then the other kind of three guys at the table also kind of like cast sideways glances your way. And you guys just stare at each other.
What was our contact's name again?
Lojack sent you.
Lojack?
Yeah, Lojack. Well, Lojack. Well, this particular orc's name. The person that we're meeting.
His
the
name,
orange mohawk.
Green. Is Gears.
Green.
With a
Gears.
Z. Because that's just how they do it in the 6th century or 6th world.
I'll kind of just look at him. I'm like, Giz? Say his name at him.
Yep, that's me. Who the fuck are you guys?
Acquaintances of Lojack.
And hearing that, he kind of just looks at the guys that are sitting with him and just like gives them like a get the fuck out of here kind of nod. And the guys get up and leave this booth, which is, it's plenty big. I mean, like, it's a booth meant for to fit like four or five trolls or like four or five really big orcs. So it can fit, you know, a decent amount of people depending on their size. And the three humans get up and they kind of just seem to give you a little bit of space, but they also seem to stick around, either sitting down at tables or, you know, shooting the shit with some other people at the booths and whatnot. And they kind of have like a similar color scheme as Gears, wearing rocking the gray and green with some accents of black. And once they're gone, he kind of like looks at your group and then gives you like the sit down kind of nod, and then, you know, scooches over so you can all sit down. And like I said, this is a booth meant for, it can hold four trolls. So even though you have Augustus, who's a large troll, I mean, you, all five of you can easily sit down.
Yeah, I would like to go in last. I'd like to sit at the end.
I'll scoot in beside him.
We'll just sit all wherever, take
not
seats.
Particular. Yeah.
Can I do like a perception test to see if I spot anyone else that's wearing like similar coloring clothes in the bar that we might not have noticed yet?
Yep. Give me let's try that one again in English. Intuition and perception, if you have it.
That was the wrong button. Sorry.
I was like, or you can go to initiative. All right. Newell's apparently getting ready to fuck somebody up. I'm going to look around by punching people out of my way.
Okay,
make a hole, motherfuckers.
And the limit's a mental limit, right?
Yes, it is.
That is 2 successes.
You don't notice anyone that looks out of place, but kind of taking a couple of glances around before you take a seat, you do notice that there's maybe a dozen or so people that seem to have a similar green, gray, and black color scheme to them in this place.
Yeah, all right. I will. I'll take note of that. I won't mention anything out loud, though. Not for now.
All right. Once you all kind of sit down and you're comfy, Gear kind of, he leans forward and he kind of like lowers his shades a little, so he's no longer like looking just at them, but he's looking over it, kind of like every like guy from the 80s movies when they see a hot chick go by. And he. He's kind of leaning forward and he's like, all right, so here's the deal. I lost my chopper in a fucking bet. And the guy I bet with, I thought was on the up and up. But as it turns out, he cheated. Now I love my chopper. I built that thing from the ground up. And I kind of want it back. But I can't get involved with it because my gang and their gang are kind of at odds, and I really don't want to start some giant war over this dreck that this fucker caused. So that's where you guys are going to come on in. If you could get my bike back, I'd be much appreciated.
And what gang is your bike currently residing with?
The Blood Dragons. Gone gangers just like us.
And I'm
as a logic, if people want, they can do a logic, and if they have the knowledge of street gangs or stuff like that, you can. Or you, if you don't have the actual knowledges but still want to kind of make a roll for it, you can just do a logic test at -1. Or, I mean, if no one gives a shit, I mean, we'll just proceed, but I'm just giving you the option.
No, I am without knowledge of street gangs, so anyone else want to take a crack at it?
Yeah, I don't either.
I mean, I don't mean to brag, but I've rolled with a few gangs back in my day.
Sounds like bragging.
Well, I mean, take what you want.
He's got like 9 do-rags. Hold on, which one do I need?
Oh my god.
It's like a Rolodex of durags.
Will you allow me a second to put my grill in?
Takes out his handbook full of gang signs.
Let's see here. Yeah, alright.
as he prepares to roll.
Where did my die roller go? Hey, what is this edge and you think? What's going on here?
That's information on spending edge. There's also some tables for combat modifiers, range table. I gave you guys some tables to look at, so you can kind of have the information ahead of you.
Bam.
All right. I will set you up with a...
So that's two successes.
That is two successes. You know that the Blood Dragons are a fairly big go-gang. And they kind of have, like, chapters, much like the Blood and Crypts do of our time. And they mostly are contained within the Barons, both the Saitaman and the Yama something Barons. Just give me a sec to remember. But anyways, they have, like, different chapters, and you know that one of their biggest competitors is another go-ganger called the Jade Gears, or Jade Pistons, sorry.
Which I'm assuming have gang colors of, I don't know, black, gray, green.
That they do.
Damn, I'm good.
How did you know?
I don't know. I could go into details, but...
So yeah, Gears is asking you guys to retrieve his bike for him.
So, do you only care about the bike, or are you trying to look for a message to be sent to this person who took advantage of you during the betting?
I really only care about my bike, my chopper. He'll get his eventually, but I've heard a little birdie say that he's going to be selling it tomorrow at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and I kind of want to get it back before that.
Do you know where it is right now?
Last I heard, it was at his little shop, and he kind of mentions like a location deeper in the Saitama Barrens.
That's the last thing I care about. What's it worth? And he would just smile at him.
Well, that all depends. It's 10K for getting the bike back, but if you damage it in the process, I'll be taking out the repair bill from the payment. And of course, you know, the floor is open for people to, potentially talk them up. If you have someone that's willing to make a charisma plus negotiation roll, or if they feel ballsy, then they can just do a charisma at minus one.
And I'm going to go ahead and pass on that.
I have a 2, everyone.
Did no one take charisma?
Well, I have everyone. A 3 in charisma, but I didn't take anything in negotiation.
Yeah, I'm in the same camp there.
All right.
So haggling's not our forte, apparently.
You guys take everything at face value.
That very works honest. For me. Very honest people. Just like, oh, I'll pay you this much. Agreed.
Oh, that was easy. Normally they haggle. We're just happy to get anything.
Beggars can't be choosers.
Exactly. We just need some money, guys.
So you guys gonna do this for me?
Sure. What kind of bike is it?
It's a chopper, sure.
It's a custom-built chopper. It's like the Scorpion. I just built it from the ground up. Quad exhaust. I gave it a little bit of extra oomph. Some people say it lacks a little handling, but, you know, they're just, you know, pussies.
Indeed, pussies.
It is currently about 6:30 at night, and he mentioned that it is being sold tomorrow at 2. So you do have some time, if you accept this, run, that is, this job.
Neil's going to say to Gears, could you give us a minute to discuss, please?
Yeah. And then he kind of leans back into the booth as if he expects you guys to get up and go. Okay, I'll give you a minute. You guys gotta get the fuck out of here or something, like if you want to discuss in private.
Yeah, I don't actually think we need to move. Let's... Can we get a huddle, guys?
I mean, you could just, you know, comm each other. Like, it's your... You text each other, sit there and just text each other on your comm links.
Can I,
As we text.
Can I text a smiley face to everybody in the group?
Yeah, I mean, if that's what you want to text, I mean, that's...
And I'm gonna type JK.
Alright, so...
I'm gonna do an elaborate emoticon of a rafflecopter. I'll just do a, you know... Like, it's a general text of the Y for yes. Boop.
Yeah, and I'll just put it something in. Seems like a good job to go with.
I mean, the thing here is it's 10,000. I'm not too familiar with, you know, the currency rate thing. And that seems like a pretty good paying job.
Yeah.
I already don't trust it.
Well, it's, you know, it's...
But, worst case scenario, we can take the bike.
Let's go do it. It seems the general consensus is to, we need the money. So.
Yes, it is. I mean, it is possible for you guys to steal the bike, should you wish to do that.
But the, blood dragons are not to be fucked with. I'll say that much.
Neither of these go-gangers are exactly the type that you should fuck with, like... the only reason, like, this bar is in an area that isn't, like, open, like, drive-bys in warfare is because they, like, this is their turf, so people know better.
So let's go do it, guys.
Yeah, I'm gonna text to the group. Does anyone have any contacts that might be able to help with this? Because we're going to need to, be able to load this bike quickly and efficiently and get it out of there, hopefully without having to, you know,
hurt murder everyone.
Anyone.
Well, I mean, you could also, there is the possibility you could just drive it out.
That is true.
I mean, that's what I was gonna do.
Because it's not, like, about how far is the guy's shop from this bar?
Maybe 45 minutes to an hour. Depending, I mean, that's mostly because of traffic and the fact that you'd want to probably navigate away from the real shitty areas that, you know, you have a chance to getting shot up. If you don't care about that, though, probably 15, 20.
And that's by driving or walking?
That is by driving.
Okay.
What's about walking?
I say if we're going to drive it out, then we take the long way around because I like money.
And
you have it, folk.
So it's only a bike, so the max number of people that could drive it would be two people. And I ain't very good at those car bike things.
I'm not atrocious at driving.
I mean, I know Madcap's a decent driver, but is he equipped, like, just like, do you know how to
ride a bike? I don't have anything known to man.
Well, alright, I mean, I suppose two of us could, I guess, we could get in, get the bike out, and the rest of us can just huff it back this way. It might take us a while, but the priority is making sure that the bike is uninjured or undamaged.
No, I mean, well, I've got my car, so whoever gets on the bike, the rest can take the car back.
Dibs on car. Not riding on the back of a bike from another guy.
I'll ride on the back of the bike.
I'm not a big fan of Chance riding in the back either.
Well, I mean, I am the most likely to be able to get in and get out without being seen, so.
Yeah, debatable.
Yeah, very debatable.
I can almost guarantee it.
I wear a leather duster all the time. I'm capable of doing anything at any given moment.
Jesus Christ.
Doves could fly out at any point in time.
As the nearly 8 foot tall, 800 pound troll, I'm pretty fucking stealthy. I'm just gonna say that right. No.
You're not getting in my car. I'm not even gonna let you in my car.
Nick. I will ride
ruin
on the top
the vinyl.
Of your car.
You'll ruin the vinyl, not letting you in.
That's racism, man. I'll tell you that right now.
Well, we are in a little bit of a predicament because I realize that my car can only fit 4. And we are a party of 5.
You can't squeeze another person in. It just
we're gonna squeeze a troll in?
Yeah.
I'll just sit on the troll's lap. It's fine.
I call shotgun. It's fine.
Can we just tie him to the roof? Like a Christmas tree?
Yeah, would that be viable?
He's about the size of a Christmas tree.
I think I'd crumple the roof, to be fair.
You know, I can sit on someone's lap. It's fine, guys.
You guys could stuff another 2 people in, or 1 troll, and it would reduce your speed and handling by 1.
That's fine.
Well, that's fine.
There's not a big deal.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
on there. The way back, there's just going to be 3 people in there.
Like a clam car.
Seriously.
All right, so once you guys agree to take the run, Gears, like, he sends you guys, he gets your comm numbers, and he sends you a location and also, like, for the shop that it's supposedly at, as well as a drop-off point.
Where's the drop-off point in relation to the shop?
Your mom's.
Shut your mouth.
Sick burn, though, guys.
Sorry, I couldn't resist it.
That was good.
In relation to the shop, it's our... Once again, this is assuming you guys avoid the open warfare. Like, I'm going to drive through and more than likely get shot up because we're a moving target and wearing the wrong colors or no colors. But maybe an hour in the opposite direction.
All right. Sounds good to me.
Dude, I got Jefferson Airplane in the stereo. I mean, we'll just take the long road. I mean, you know, we'll cruise.
Magic car, right? No, that's Steppenwolf. Damn it. I guess Jefferson, that's what, White Rabbit?
Oh, yeah.
You got it.
Alright, so agreeing to this, he kind of... Gears remains sitting there as he waits for you guys to kind of get up and get going. But once again, you do have... 10 hours? 9.5 hours that you can get this done in? Before it's, you know, he's supposed to be selling the bike, so you do have some time.
It's like 6 o'clock at night. He's selling it at 2 o'clock in the afternoon the next day. That's like 20 hours.
Several hours. Does anyone have any contacts that might be able to help with this situation?
All I have is a information broker and a fixer.
I don't know anyone.
What do you need help doing?
Just any information, like any contacts that might be able to help us get some inside info on this place.
Well, how much time could we really give them to do that, though? They'd have to more or less know it, like, right out of hand.
Well, we're working on, like, a 18-hour time clock here. Schedule.
Well, yeah, I know. I don't know who you people know.
Yeah, maybe you have a contact that's in gangs, or...
Maybe that's how I like it.
What about you, Gypsy? Can you... I don't know.
Nah.
Find anything out?
I got a bartender and a mechanic. I mean, we could fix the bike, but...
Yeah, I got a mechanic buddy who knows the Yakuza pretty well, but... We ain't dealing with the Yakuza.
But you're a Decker. Can't you, like, find any information out about... I don't know... the shop of his or something? That's it.
I don't know, I suppose. Can I do that, Glenn?
Well, there you have it, folks. That is our first episode wrapped up. As you can kind of tell, like I said, they're still kind of new, so they're asking a lot of questions about what they can and can't do. So I decided to break it at that point because we were going to get into a longer part that I really didn't want to break up midway through. So that is that. So yeah, check us out at geekthemage.wordpress.com. This is going to be going on to iTunes shortly, as soon as I can get it on there. So when that happens, feel free to check us out. I'll keep you guys updated. You can also check me out at Fisto Roboto on Twitter. That's at PHISTOROBOTO. I know there's a lot of O's. I like them. And I also run another podcast. That's D&D based, so if you're into that, check out Dungeons and Diatribes, the podcast. You can also check us out at dungeonsanddiatribes.com.
But till next time, stay safe while you plumb those shadows, chummers.